What is going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. Another Thursday, another episode of Simply Sessions. We got Nico in the wings here waiting to give us the latest and greatest in what's going on in the Bitcoin world. I hope you're all having a wonderful week. I hope you're all self-custodying and not buying paper Bitcoin. And I hope you're avoiding the impending hellscape that is CBDCs as they descend upon us. But we will get into all of that shortly here. Of course, this is live. Anything can happen. So I defer to my friend Bill here.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live. Fuck it. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
If you have not already, please do like, subscribe, share. All those things, super important. They help get this show in front of more eyeballs. Hit that little like button below your screen. Share this on whatever socials you may be on. And hit that subscribe button. Help me on my quest to 100K. I am Ben with the BTC Sessions. This is your Simply Session.
Bitcoin.
Before we dive in, let's take a look at where we are in the market right now. This is timechaincalendar.com, and simultaneously also I'm of course bringing up the live chat from here on in. Anything you say in the chat will be live for the world to see, for better or worse. So back to timechaincalendar.com. We're sitting at $41,284 per coin. A single US dollar will snag you 2,422 sats. In terms of fees, next block, 56 sats per byte. Anytime, 40 sats per byte. And the mempool is purging anything south of around 20 sats per byte. And in terms of Bitcoin mined, 19.6 million of them. That's 93.34% of the total supply. And that halving is just around the corner. Shout out to me first. I always forget that I'm starting to do this now. But anyways, if the step-by-step tutorials that are for free online aren't quite cutting the mustard and you need some additional help getting through a particular thing, wallets, hardware, multi-sig, privacy, whatever it may be, you can book me for one-on-one sessions at my website, btcsessions.ca. But shout out to sponsors of the show, hodlhodl.com. If you're buying Bitcoin and you have some priorities in mind, namely peer-to-peer trading, instant self-custody, and no KYC, this is the place to be. You can sign up with just an email address, choose your currency, payment method, and amount, and you can start viewing offers immediately. You can also check out their peer-to-peer lending with no rehypothecation. Links are down below. Of course, when you do get yourself some Bitcoin, you're going to want to secure it with some of the best hardware on the market. CoinKite is killing it. My cold card Mark IV is my go-to. I've got all their goodies, tap signers, sats cards, block clocks, you name it. I got it. And I pre-ordered the ever-living hell out of the cold card queue. If you want to do the same or pick up anything else that I mentioned, head to coinkite.com, use code BTC Sessions for a nice big discount at checkout. Backups are important as well. CDOR has one of the most beautifully designed and robust options on the market. It has a disk and capsule design, and it comes in a full starter set for one or two seeds, so you can stamp them in and secure your seed from the elements like fire, water, corrosion, all of that good stuff. And if you ever need to add additional information like wallet names or derivation paths, or if you ever need to swap out disks, it's cheap and simple to do. So check them out, cdor.io, and links are down below for the cheapest shipping routes. Nunchuck has you covered with assisted multi-sig. Their Honey Badger program allows you to set up a multi-sig wallet on your phone with things like TapSigner, Cold Card, and plenty of other hardware options. Once it is set up, they hold one key, you hold three. It will have baked-in inheritance planning, so your sats get to your next of kin if anything should happen to you. And the whole thing is no KYC, so you don't need to give up your private information to have it set up and work for you. And final shout out of the day, start9.com, your sovereign computing solution. These guys, they sell plug-and-play devices to host not only your Bitcoin stack, but your personal data. So you can host things like Bitcoin Core, your Lightning Node, mempool.space, CoinJoin implementations, as well as files, passwords, photos, Nostra Realism clients, and even some AI stuff. So check them out. They have everything from entry level up to what I'm using, which is the Start9 Server Pure, which if you want a discount, you can use code BTC Sessions with a little plus at the end of it. And with that, enough of my rambling. Let's get our buddy in here. Dude, how you doing? Welcome.
Yo! Happy to be back, dude.
Good to see you. How's your week?
It's been good, dude. It's been good making content, living the dream, talking about Bitcoin. Can't complain, bro.
I gotta say, this is your full-time gig now. You're going it solo. You're just living the dream. You're building the channel, and this is your full time now. No jobs or anything.
How's dude, I'm not gonna lie. It feels great. I think you gave me the best advice. If people don't know, Ben, I relied on Ben for a lot of this. He was my mentor because he went through something very, very similar, and gave me the best piece of advice, which was, you know, Nico, in a year from now, you know, you're going to be very, very, very happy. And I believe that, you know, so feeling really good and feels good, man. Feels good.
Hell yeah. Love to hear it. And I don't know. Everybody go subscribe to Simply Bitcoin if you're not already doing it, because the passion comes through. So yeah, man. with that, I mean, like, let's I guess get into it. What's been going on this week? What's top of mind? What's been happening?
Dude, I mean, so many things. Major absolute destroy, like, you know, when you were like shifting of the Overton window, complete shattering of the Overton window. The president of the United States, I mean, sorry, the one of the presidential candidates who right now, according to the betting odds, is the favored to win, Donald Trump, is mentioning CBDCs. You have Javier Milei being the nightmare of Klaus Schwab in the Contillionaire Conference of World Economic Forum, dropping absolute bombs. And then there was a paper that was discovered that is hosted on the Federal Reserve website that literally says the quiet part out loud. So we have a lot of stuff to cover today. Let's give a shout out to Vivek, because Vivek is responsible for this take on Trump. I know that he said something to Trump. We know that Vivek had a very strong stance on anti-CBDC and pro Bitcoin. It looks like Trump hasn't listened to him with the Bitcoin stuff yet, but he's definitely listened with the CBDC stuff. So here's Vivek. He says, President Trump just made a new promise in New Hampshire tonight, and I have full confidence he will keep it, right? So let's hear that promise and take a look at the crowd's reaction and take a look at Trump's reaction to the crowd's reaction.
Tonight, I'm also making another promise to protect Americans from government tyranny. As your president, I will never allow the creation of a central bank digital currency. You know about that? I didn't know you know so much. I'm very well, New Hampshire, very smart people. Very, very current. You know what they're doing. Such a currency would give a federal government, our federal government, the absolute control over your money. They could take your money. You wouldn't even know it was gone. This would be a dangerous threat to freedom, and I will stop it from coming to a... Tonight, I'm also making another problem.
I mean, this is like... Whatever you think of Trump and all that stuff, and Phil Geiger and I, he's part of Unchained. We went back and forth last night. And he was like, look, this has nothing to do with Bitcoin. This has to CBDCs. And what I ended up responding to him, because he said, look, Trump has spoken ill of Bitcoin in the past. Yeah. He's promoted NFTs. And I said, of course, Saylor has spoken ill of Bitcoin in the past. Also, many Bitcoiners start off as shitcoiners, not making excuses, but there will only be two choices in the next election. In the presidential primary, two Republicans and one Democrat, RFK, Vivek, and DeSantis took pro-Bitcoin, anti-CBD stances, but none of them had a chance of winning. The fact that a future U.S. president is advocating against central bank digital currencies is a big deal and tells me we are heading in the right direction. So absolutely historic that is now part of the political discourse. How long until, you know, you have a presidential candidate being pro-Bitcoin? I boldly said, or, you know, I predicted, I don't know if this is true of any sense, but I have a feeling, I don't know where that feeling is coming from, but you can hold me to it if I get it wrong. I said having an anti-Bitcoin stance will be politically unviable by 2028. What is 2028? 2028 is the next presidential election. I think we're going to have so much adoption that whether you're a Democrat or whether you're a Republican, being anti-Bitcoin is not something that is going to help you get elected. So absolutely historic moment. Whatever you think about Trump, the fact that CBDCs are now part of the political discourse by someone who actually has a chance of getting elected is a big effing deal, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think, again, I think you're right in and around the, regardless of your thoughts on whether you like or dislike Trump, it's more so the fact that somebody that is very likely or like probably has one of the better chances to be, it'll be a coin toss if that, but it kind of seems like it might go his way. Regardless, you're going to have somebody running a country that is explicitly outlining the dangers of CBDCs, and those dangers are real. And so, again, regardless of your opinion of the individual, what's being said here is correct, and it's on a global stage now. And so you're now going to have an instance where, you know, somebody that is typically very divisive is going to say something. And if it does get implemented, like let's say he doesn't win and somebody else gets in, Biden's back or whoever else they decide to run, and a CBDC does get implemented, and then these things do start happening, then it becomes the I told you so moment. If it doesn't get implemented, but then we see it elsewhere, which for sure we're going to see it elsewhere, again, it's an I told you so moment. And so what I'm really curious about is when we see somebody from the other side of the aisle that is a front runner also fall in line with this CBDCs are not here to help you conversation. Because I don't think the status quo, I don't think the current administration, and for sure the administration of my country in Canada, they would love nothing more than to have a CBDC, as they demonstrated in full a couple of years ago, so that they can individually shut off people's ability to transact. They already did it through the banking system, but they couldn't do it with cash and they couldn't do it with Bitcoin. And so this is going to be a huge talk. It's a presidential issue at this point. And had you told me that this is kind of where we would be at this point in time just a few short years ago, I would have thought that trajectory was too soon, that we wouldn't, but like the world is shifting quickly. And we'll see where it goes. But I'm glad that, again, regardless of your thoughts of Trump, a dude who has been president and may be president again just outlined the dangers of CBDCs on a global stage.
100%. And again, that Overton window is shifting. And you guys know the deal, you know, on Simply Sessions. It's not left versus right. You know, it's green versus orange, right? It's nothing to do with, you know, political parties. I think it's both BS. I think as long as money and state are combined, you know, but it rots everything from the core. The goal is separating money from state, whether that's a, you know, from the American centric view, whether that's a Democrat like RFK Jr., for example, that was pro Bitcoin, pro self custody, protect the rights of Americans to buy Bitcoin, or, you know, on the other side, on the Republican camp, right? That's really what it should be about. It's single issue voter support candidates, regardless of their political party, that are supporting Bitcoin, that are protecting Bitcoin, protecting your rights to be Bitcoiners. Mm-hmm. And again, this actually puts a little bit of pressure on the other side, because what is the other side going to say? Yeah, we're pro slavery money, essentially. You know, like there really isn't a good defense to that CBDC stuff. So
they're going to start calling. They're going to be like, if you don't support CBDCs, then you support MAGA.
Yeah, exactly.
That's going to be the narrative. Is like I could see that being what gets shoved in front of people's faces. If you don't support CBDCs, where we can, and they'll say like, it without CBDCs, we can't stop the far right from whatever it is, or the tyrants. And so like, it'll be framed like that.
100%.
But the hilarious dichotomy there is under a CBDC, even if you think like, geez, we better get this CBDC running so that we can stop all the bad people from doing things. Once that's like the norm for everybody in a country, that's like forever. And so imagine another election cycle where the worst candidate you can imagine is now in control of that system, because that will happen. And yeah, you got to zoom out and say, hey, if I could use this against people I don't like, what would happen if somebody I didn't like got in power and used it against me? Because that's what's coming down the line.
100%. I 100% agree with that statement. And but, you know, again, Ben, it's surreal. We've been here a while. All right. I think this is my 8th year in Bitcoin. I think you've been here longer than I have. Holy cow. You know, like, holy cow. Like this is, it's really growing up, you know, with the ETF, with this type of discourse. I think the world in general is going through this great awakening. So you did mention the threat of CBDCs being real. And I just want to address that, because something, and believe it or not, out of all people, like, I don't really watch Alex Jones, and I don't, you know, I'm not really a consumer of his content, but he did, you know, this pop, he's back on Twitter. And, you know, I fell for the clickbait, which is Fed insane. Feds change the definition of money. And I started watching the content, and holy cow, what was they said the quiet part out loud. But before I get to that, here's Budion. He's the founder of Asteco, a great non-KYC company, allows you to buy Bitcoin. And he says, Alex Jones laughed at Bitcoin when interviewing Max Keiser years ago. Now he's frothing at the mouth about CBDCs. Anyone not talking about Bitcoin is part of the problem. That includes Elon Musk, who Jones will follow. So that's a really good point, which is whether it's Trump, whether, you know, I can't say the same about Vivek and Ron DeSantis and RFK Jr., because they were anti-CBDC and pro-Bitcoin, right? Mm-hmm. If you're anti-CBDC, but you're not recommending the solution, I 100% agree with Budion. You're part of the problem. Alex Jones is identifying this issue, but when there's a solution and you're not advocating for that solution, and Max Keiser did the work and went on your show and gave you 10,000 Bitcoin to incentivize you, and you rejected that, like, I 100% agree with Budion. You are part of the problem. Like, that's really the issue. So what am I talking about? So here is, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to docket number OP1670. It is currently hosted on the federalreserve.gov website. Ben, don't trust verify, right? So I'm going to send this to you on the restream chat, or you know what? I'm going to put it in the live chat.
Yes.
So you guys, check it yourself instead of, trusting us. Don't trust verify. This is hosted on federalreserve.gov. It's called docket number OP1670. It was written by an economist and author, William Michael Cunningham. And it says some very interesting things. There's smoking guns in this document. So it goes on to say, the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve have determined that the Federal Reserve Bank should develop a new interbank 24/7, 365 real-time gross settlement layer, FedNow, with integrated clearing functionality to support faster payments in the United States. That sure sounds like a CBDC, even though they're trying to tell you that it's not a CBDC. The board is requesting comment on modifications to the FedNow service and other actions that would further reduce or eliminate potentially adverse effects without significantly compromising the anticipated public benefit associated with the service. It goes on to say, the Federal Reserve Board announced that the Federal Reserve Banks will develop a new round-the-clock real-time payment and settlement system called the FedNow service to support faster payments in the United States. This is a direct response to the threat posed by digital currencies and blockchain. I mean, like, this is something we've been saying for a long time now. It's like CBDCs are a response to Bitcoin. They're not, governments aren't doing this to innovate. Like the European Central Bank is getting fact checked on Twitter saying there's no necessity for this. Yeah. The reason they're freaking out the way they are is because there's an alternative and that alternative is better, right? So they're like, oh, we need a CBDC now, even though it's not necessary. And according to this paper hosted by the Federal Reserve themselves, check the link, it's saying the quiet part out loud. This is a direct response to the threat posed by digital currencies and blockchain. It goes on to say, last summer, the U.S. Treasury recommended that the Federal Reserve move quickly to facilitate a faster retail payment system, such as through the development of a real-time settlement service that would also allow for more efficient and ubiquitous access to innovative payment capabilities. So the Treasury is stepping in and basically saying, yo, guys, move faster, because if not, we're going to get left behind. Now, what's really crazy, and we've actually covered this on the show before, we believe this effort requires a proof of authority, not proof of work. A proof of authority quantum computing based blockchain system. Now, here's where it gets really crazy, and here is really where they say the quiet part out loud. So they go on to describe what is money. So it says the main economic attributes of a technically effective currency rest on three functions: as a unit of account, a store of value, and as a medium of exchange. A unit of account is common measure for the value for goods and services, and the store of value is the way in which we store value in order to transfer purchasing power from the present to the future, and the medium of exchange function dictates which item is accepted for the payment of goods and services. In recent history, these functions have been fulfilled by fiat currencies backed by central banks across both the developed and developing nations through monetary policy manipulation. The key attraction of these currencies, price stability and widespread acceptance. I think that's wrong. I think that's financial privilege. I think there's a few countries that have quote unquote financial stability where the currency isn't stealing enough from you to realize that it's happening, is implemented through a central banking system and enjoy a great deal of trust globally. Now, here's the other smoking gun of this document, but there is a fourth function of money as a means of social control. So they even admit in their own documents, they say the quiet part out loud. They say CBDCs are a response to Bitcoin, and they admit that money is a form of social control. This is on their website, on a government website, which is nuts.
Exactly what everybody has been saying and warning about and been called conspiracy theorist for, right? Like whenever, try having this chat with anybody who's not in this space. You say, oh, they want to do a digital currency, a central bank digital currency, a CBDC. And they want to do it so that they can have control over what you do, how you transact, all of your behaviors, and people think you're a quack. And then there's actual documentation stating as much on the website of the Federal Reserve.
100%. It's like you couldn't, like, we've been saying this, we've been claiming this, we've been like, because it's like, it's obvious, it's common sense. But to find a smoking gun like this, where they like admit like what we've been saying, and then they gaslight you the entire time, and it takes someone like Alex Jones to like dig through the papers to find it out, dude, it's absolutely hilarious. Like, I'm sorry, man, it's just crazy. Okay, so this actually has a connection to the other huge shift in the break of the Overton window, the shattering of the Overton window. Malay, this was back in January 16th, before he made his speech, it was announced that he was going to travel to Davos to promote, quote, freedom to transact, right? Davos, you know, is where they do the World Economic Forum, or like I like to call it, the Contillionaire Conference, where world elites from all around the world go to meet at this event. And essentially, they like to tell everybody how they're pieces of crap because, you know, they're traveling too much and they're using too much carbon. Mind you, at the same time, they are, you know, flying in their private jets going to this place. What was really awesome about Javier Milei is that he flew in commercial to go to the conference. So he flew in a commercial flight. People were taking pictures with him and stuff. It was absolutely hilarious. I have no idea why they thought it was a good idea to let this person speak, because his video absolutely blew the F up. Like, it got so many views. Maybe they pulled it down, actually, because I'm scrolling on the website right now. Can't seem to find it. holy crap. Did they pull it down, dude?
That would be... Oh my God. I mean, that would not be out of character. Well, because it had...
I have clips for it, by the way. But, like, I just wanted to show you. Let me see if I could find the... I'll show you this instead. It seems like they deleted video off the YouTube channel, which is just crazy. Absolutely nuts. Okay, so...
Holy shit, though. When you search Davos 2024, the whole... I've got like four videos in front of me and four of them are Javier.
Dude, okay. So check this out. Dude, this is crazy. Okay. So you're on the website, right? You have everyone, you know, you have, you know, I can't find Javier. Maybe he's in the live section. Maybe I'm being, there he is. Okay. There we go. Okay. Okay. So it's not as bad. It's not as bad. Sorry. We've been just used to getting beat over the head by the censorship metaphorical hammer over the last couple of years. Okay. So you're going to see something very interesting. So you have all these world leaders, right? You have, national security head, Jake Sullivan. You know, you have the prime ministers of country. You have Ursula. We're going to talk about her in a little bit. And you see, you know, 10,000, 5,000, 12,000, 5,000. And take a look at this guy's speech, Javier Milei, 257,000 views. When I heard this for the first time, ladies and gentlemen, I highly recommend watching this video. It's 23 minutes long. He dropped so many bombs on Klaus and co. It was just an absolute massacre. Obviously, we don't have time to play you guys the entire video. But here are some very, very good clips. Here's clip number one.
Good afternoon.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much.
Hoy estoy acá.
Today, I'm here
para decirles que Occidente
to tell you that
peligro.
The Western world is in danger.
Está en peligro porque
and it is in danger because those who are supposed to have to defend the values of the West are co-opted by a vision of the world that inexorably leads to socialism and thereby to poverty. Unfortunately, in recent decades, motivated by some well-meaning individuals willing to help others, and others motivated by the wish to belong to a privileged caste, the main leaders of the Western world have abandoned the model of freedom for different versions of what we call collectivism. We're here to tell you that collectivist experiments are never the solution to the problems that afflict the citizens of the world. Rather, they are the root cause. Do believe me, no one better placed than us, Argentines, to testify to these 2 points.
So, and I just want to, because he is a libertarian after all, and I just want to emphasize this. So he mentioned socialism in the beginning, but then he mentioned collectivism. And that's the part that we have to focus on, because all forms of, whether it's nationalism, populism, fascism, socialism, communism, they're all the same side of the same coin, just different sides of that coin. And they all fall into the collectivist ideology, the ideology of the nanny state, the ideology of the state can take care of me versus what Bitcoiners fundamentally are, which are individualists, right? So he's basically calling these people and all these people in that crowd are hardcore collectivists. Now, he kept dropping more bombs. This entire clip's about 3 minutes. We're not going to play the entire thing. So I fast forwarded it to where he says that, just check it out.
Oh, I don't think we have it.
Oh, here we go.
In my view, should be updated in the light of current circumstances. Today, states don't need to directly control the means of production to control every aspect of the lives of individuals. With tools such as printing money, debt, subsidies, controlling the interest rate, price controls, and regulations to correct the so-called market failures, they can control the lives and fates of millions of individuals. This is how we come to the point where, by using different names or guises, a good deal of the generally accepted political offers in most Western countries are collectivist variants, whether they proclaim to be openly communists, fascists, Nazis, socialists, social democrats, national socialists, democrat Christians, or Christian democrats, neo-Keynesians, progressive, populist, nationalists, or globalists. At bottom, there are no major differences. They all say that the state should steer all aspects of the lives of individuals. They all defend a model contrary to that one which led humanity to the most spectacular progress in its history.
So, talk about breaking the Overton window. Elon Musk, he tweeted a meme. It's not appropriate for YouTube. Check out his Twitter. It's a dude with the laptop, and there's like a girl in front of him, and they're like doing things, and then the dude's just paying like attention to the laptop. And then of course he's tweeting it directly from his account. Elon Musk has 169 million followers, and he goes on to say, good explanation of what makes countries more or less prosperous. The numbers speak for themselves, ladies and gentlemen. 257,000 views compared to all the little tiny, you know, other videos. And again, back to, you know, something that we talk a lot about on this show, which was the idea of the Overton window. For anyone that doesn't know, the Overton window is the range of policies politically acceptable to the mainstream population at any given time. And essentially what Javier Milei said in this speech is he basically called out that the state is the problem, that central banking is the issue. It's not, it's not that the state hasn't been involved more. It's not that the monetary policy is wrong. It's that the state, the monetary policy itself is the issue. If the state would get out of the way and let free markets do its thing, humanity would return to prosperity. He was advocating for individual freedoms, and he was making the case that only via individuals' freedoms can humanity reach the prosperity it once had. Like, that is in complete polar opposite of what is being, you know, what is normally touted and what is normally advertised in Davos, which is basically like, you know, we need more controls on the climate. We need to get involved more. We need a bigger state. We need censorship. We need all of these things. He's saying the exact opposite. He was dropping bombs in the process, shifting the Overton window. Mix in what happened just now with Donald Trump going on the mic and basically advocating against central bank digital currencies. This is the Great Awakening. This is the paradigm shift. People are waking up and they're sick and tired of the BS. They don't believe it anymore when they see these elites in private jets going to Davos telling us about how the climate sucks, and then this dude literally flies commercial telling us that only via freedom and capitalism is humanity going to reach prosperity. I don't know about you guys, but I know who I believe, and I'm going on the record one last thing, and this is from the comments. Javier Milei did not kill himself.
Honestly, again, I've seen people are always healthily skeptical about a lot of things. And I've seen some people saying like, oh, it's all Javier is a psyop and everything. Personally, I don't think so. But even if he was, I mean, I don't see how having somebody go and speak facts like this helps bolster the opposite side's case, right? Because like when he goes up there and he basically pokes holes in everything that the WEF is basically pushing, then I, you know, it's people look, I mean, again, look at the numbers, look at how many people watched that and were like, holy shit. I don't think it's a negative, regardless of whether or not he goes through with what he says he wants to do. I think it's opening people's eyes, and I'm honestly happy to see this sentiment starting to proliferate. Obviously, it's striking a chord with a lot of people, and a lot of people are pretty sick of the status quo.
100%. And they're sick of it. They know something's wrong, and this guy seems to be resonating with people. It seems to be delivering. Elon Musk is on board, you know, whatever you think of Elon. Again, and a lot of people, and I think, you know, Phil Geiger and I got, like, we went back and forth yesterday. A lot of people focus on the individual. So they focus on Javier Milei. They focus on Elon Musk. They focus on Donald Trump. But if you zoom out and if you think about it in terms of where is the Overton window, right? Where is the Overton window? Because that's how you achieve things politically, right? You want to move things from unthinkable, radical, acceptable, sensible, popular policy. He just brought up a lot of things about the state, about central banking, about printing money that are unthinkable, right? Mm-hmm. Donald Trump saying that about CBDCs. That goes from unthinkable, radical, and then that starts to move to the acceptable column, mm-hmm. right? So it doesn't necessarily, like, I don't really care about Donald Trump as an individual. I don't really care about Milei as an individual. I don't really care about these people as an individual. What I care about is that they're moving that window. And in the process of moving that window, more people are waking up to the idea that central banking is a scam, the idea that a big nanny state is actually a negative, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's really how we win. So how is the opposition responding to this? Let me introduce you to Ursula von der Leyen. She's like the president or the head of the European Union. And of course, their only response to this is not really addressing what is happening. Their response to this is it's misinformation.
For the global business community, the top concern for the next 2 years is not conflict or climate. It is disinformation and misinformation, followed closely by polarization within our societies. These risks are serious, because they limit our ability to tackle the big global challenges we are facing. Changes in our climate and our geopolitical climate. Shifts in our demography and in our technology. Spiraling regional conflicts and intensified geopolitical competition and their impacts on supply chains. The sobering reality is that we are once again competing more intensely across countries than we have in several decades. And this makes the theme of this year's Davos meeting even more relevant. Rebuilding trust.
Okay, so rebuilding trust. You know how you rebuild trust? You don't fucking lie to people, okay? And it, to me, it's like, it's so dystopian. First of all, nothing against Germany. I was actually born in Germany, for anyone who doesn't know that. But the German accent, we have a problem with misinformation. It is bad. It is getting out of hand. And because people don't believe us anymore, we can't get away with all the programs that we wanted, right? And like, what is she talking about? She's talking about this. She's talking about the fact that, like, someone like Elizabeth Warren is going, the SEC is wrong on the law and wrong on the policy with respect to the Bitcoin ETF decision. And then, boom, community note. There are already robust laws to prevent crypto money laundering. U.S. agencies such as FinCEN, SEC, CFTC enforce anti-money laundering, compliance, sanction adherence, and whatever. States like New York also contribute to AML efforts. So, like, this is what Elizabeth Warren would say. This is misinformation, right? Mm. And again, it gets even crazier than that. Like, this is community noting the Central Bank of Europe itself, right? The digital euro is public money issued directly by the European Central Bank. Bitcoin is different. And then literally in the community note, the digital euro CBDC will not fulfill the three main characteristics of money because of its proposed limits. This is what she is talking about in her German accent. The main problem is misinformation, because with misinformation, we can't convince people to buy into our BS. We need to control the narrative. That's what it's about. And by the way, it's not just crazy Bitcoiners on the internet saying this. This is something that Nayib Bukele spoke about directly in his article for Bitcoin magazine called Stop Drinking the Elite's Kool-Aid. In that magazine article, he writes, the most vocal detractors, the ones who are afraid and pressuring us to reverse our decision, are the world's most powerful elites and the people who work for or benefit from them. They used to own everything in a way they still do. The media, the banks, the NGOs, the international organizations, and almost all the governments and corporations in the world. And with that, of course, they also own the armies, the loans, the money supply, the credit ratings, the narrative, the propaganda, the factories, the food supply. They control international trade and international law. But their most important weapon is the control of the truth. And they're willing to fight, lie, smear, destroy, confiscate, print, and do whatever it takes to maintain and increase their control over the truth and everything and everyone. So this, ladies and gentlemen, I'm losing this information. These numbers right here, this speech by Milei telling the truth, tells you that we are winning, and we are winning hard, and they're absolutely terrified because of that.
I love it, man. We've got a bumpy road ahead of us, but it makes the future seem bright. So we gotta weather the storm that's in front of us. We've already begun to live outside that system to a degree. Everybody watching this to varying degrees are sidestepping the existing system by, you know, in whatever proportion, no longer allowing themselves to save in a money that can be printed by somebody else. And I think you're going to see more and more of that, more and more people realizing that every second you voluntarily allow yourself to be part of this system, you are being stolen from and you are being controlled. And the other option is the exact opposite.
Exactly. And if they can't control the narrative, they can't control the information, then it's like, how else are they going to convince you that, you know, it's okay to use the money that steals from you, right? So it's like they're forced to do that, right? And they're freaking out. They don't know what to do. So yeah, Ursula, stick that up where the sun doesn't shine. We're winning, baby.
I like how she got progressively more Arnold. It went on. Get to the chopper.
What is going on with this misinformation? This is too much.
And what does he do?
What does he do? This misinformation is too much. We must take out Elon. Oh man, that's hilarious. But yeah, man, I fear for Malay's safety. He didn't kill himself for anyone listening. And you know, but this means we're winning. And I can't wait for the next 5-10 years, bro. I think the human race. Humanity is going to see freedom the likes of which it has never seen before. Anyways, Ben, I know I'm over time. Guys, this was your Simply Sessions. Ben, thank you, and I'll see you next week.
Later, man. All right, everybody. Stick around, because we're going to be hitting the tech updates really quick. Actually, tech updates and a couple cool things that were just created by some awesome Bitcoiners out there. So I'm gonna bring it up on the screen right now. Thing number one I wanted to share with you guys is a new short film by Bitcoin Shooter. If you don't follow him, make sure you do. But Bitcoin Shooter is awesome. He does a lot of great work in and around Bitcoin. But he tweeted out, last year I traveled 90,000 miles and visited 7 countries. The happiest people I met were Kenyans who got electricity for the first time. They had no idea what Bitcoin mining is, yet it changed their lives. And so I highly recommend that you check this out and see how Bitcoin is changing lives around the world. Allowing sustainability of grids to people that would have never had access to things like this. The next one I wanted to shout out is Max DeMarco and his new documentary called How Japan Became the Poorest Country in the World. And you may be thinking, wait, Japan, that sounds, they're super wealthy, aren't they? No, they are the most indebted nation on earth. And so there's this facade with all of the debt that they've been able to build things. But if you look deeper, if you look under the veneer of the shiny exterior, you see a society where problems are brewing and things are rotting. And Max DeMarco does a great job outlining how something is going on that the world is missing here. Highly recommend. Very well done. Let's keep going here, though. I wanted to bring awareness to a few things. So this is pretty cool. I've been playing around with eCash and Cashew and all these different things. Basically, Xiaomi and eCash on Bitcoin via Lightning. If you don't know what that means, it's effectively being able to use Bitcoin in a way that gives you near perfect privacy. However, there are trade-offs there. I'm going to be dropping another tutorial video tomorrow morning. I would have dropped it earlier in the week, but we'll get to that in a moment. But anyways, new project, Nut Band. There's an obsession with nuts when it comes to Cashew. anyways, the goal of this project is to use Cashew eCash, basically sats denominated in eCash, payments over long range radio and other mesh networks using something called Reticulum and LXMF. So basically being able to broadcast a transaction, a very private transaction, just with like long range radio waves, which is wild. So excited to see these developments. I also wanted to, and I should have done this in different order here, but at Real Richard just released an incredible music video. I've got to say, music in Bitcoin is getting better and better. First, we had Stay Stackin', that was part of the winner of the Orange Pill App talent show, and that was amazing. But this one, again, Tokyo Citadel remix from Man Like Wex, yes, and Tokyo Citadel and Real Richard. Damn, this thing slaps. It's incredible. You got to watch it. So make sure you follow and head over to Nostr and zap the shit out of them, which I did. Also, it got announced. I'm headed to El Salvador. I'll be seeing people there in early April for the halving party. Very excited. Also, check out the image that they did for it. Speaker, BTC Sessions blonde tip. The rest of me will be there as well, but mostly the tip will be speaking. Should be a good time. If you're going to be in El Salvador, please do let me know. Very excited to see everybody down. This will be my first time as well, thinking about trying to get out for, they've got a Me Premier Bitcoin or My First Bitcoin graduation as well happening. So I'm going to try and get out to a few things while I'm down there. Very excited to see everybody and experience El Salvador for the first time. A few other updates. Hermes, Fediment-based Lightning address server. Okay, so this is really cool. So Fediment's effectively like a federated multi-sig model that can manage either pools of funds or that can manage like a Lightning node or something like that. And you gain, again, near perfect privacy using this. But what Hermes does, and I'll read a little bit here. Current implementation is a bit different. Hermes receives the eCash and sends the notes to you, but below is the goal and is pending a few changes to the Fediment client. The Hermes server cannot spend your eCash. It is locked to the user's pub key. It doesn't even need to send you the notification. Your Fediment client can scan for the payment on its own. The notification just makes the scan faster by telling the client to look for a specific payment or set of payments. Basically, what this is doing is right now, if you have a self-custodial Lightning wallet, well, you more or less, unless you're hosting it on a separate server, you can't really have a Lightning address. Like if you have a self-custodial Lightning wallet on your phone, Lightning addresses don't necessarily work. There's some workarounds. Zeus did something called ZapLocker. And it kind of works, but it also, from my understanding, it can clog up the Lightning network a little bit. So it needs some fine tuning. Using something like this, where a Fediment is online and it hosts your Lightning address for you, but any funds that they receive are unspendable to them. And then whenever you do come online, it can look for and then claim those funds. I think that's super cool. So we'll see how it develops, but yeah, I like this as kind of in between, you know, like obviously long-term savings, you want to keep it on chain, maybe multi-sig, but for sure hardware. But if it's like day-to-day spending cash and things like that, and just kind of like your accessible liquid cash, I see no problem with stuff like this, as long as people are aware of the trade-offs. Shout out to Sparrow Wallet, version 1.8.2 just dropped. The major thing that I found very useful is improved transaction. Where was it? Oh, there we go. Effective fee rate. So basically, if you receive a transaction and you want to send it before it confirms, you can do that using something called Child Pays for Parent. So basically, the fees of the transaction you're sending will help subsidize the fees of the transaction that was sent to you, and both will be mined at the same time. However, it can be tricky trying to figure out what fee you should attach. If you have an incoming transaction that had a very low fee and you've been waiting a long time, if it's just a regular single transaction, effectively the fee that you attach, even if you bump it up, you got to kind of cut the excess in half. You're basically splitting the fee between the one that you paid and the one that the person before you paid. And the average is what the effective fee rate is, because that's how attractive it will appear to a minor. And that's not super clear when you're doing it. And sometimes I've used Child Pays for Parent to try and speed up a transaction and just send it to myself. And the problem is I'll attach what I think is a decently high fee. And then when I check in the mempool, it's like, oh, the effective fee rate is still really low. And so what this does is it allows you, if you're using Child Pays for Parent, to see what the effective fee rate, you can see that right here, CPFP, and then it says the sats per byte effective fee rate. So your transaction averaged with the transaction that preceded it, what would the fee rate if you averaged those out be? And so that's very useful for those of you that have stuck transactions trying to bump it yourself. Okay, Plasma version 1.05 is now available. What is this? Plasma acts like a Lightning node to issue commands directly to your node over the Lightning network. Thanks to JB55 of Domus for developing LN socket, which makes this possible. Super awesome to see things like that pop up. Unleashed Chat version 0.1.7 release and Nostr mode improvements. So what is this? It provides access to uncensored, fully open source software AI models for sats. If you haven't seen it, it's pretty cool. You can basically go there. You can send sats for computations, for uncensored computations on open source AI models. Really cool. So like if you use something like ChatGPT, great. But if you ask the wrong questions, it'll come back and say, I can't do that for you. Not true on this. You can ask it to tell you whatever you want and it will give you the best information that it has. But you're basically not stonewalled by OpenAI if they don't like the direction of your questioning or your requests. Shout out to Blink and BTC Pay Server. They've got a plugin put together with BTC Pay Server. We're making Lightning transactions accessible to all merchants, regardless of their technical know-how. I was playing around with it on my Start 9 in BTC Pay there. A couple hoops to jump through, but actually not too bad. I did a bit of tinkering and I was able to link it up. Seems to work pretty well. So yeah, kudos to them. And again, for the people that may not be able to very easily do like a full self-custody Lightning, you know, set up your channels and they just want like a quick, I want to receive the payment and then I'll swap it out as soon as I'm able. That might be a good option for them to plug in with Blink. So awesome. And finally, I did want to let you guys know the tutorial that I will be dropping tomorrow. I got to do some editing on it tonight, is something called Mini Bits. This is, again, a cashew wallet, Xiaomian eCash on Bitcoin. And it's basically you can send eCash with, you know, sats, but sats denominated or eCash denominated in sats to and from people within an eCash mint. Using this wallet, but it also interoperates with regular Lightning transactions. So you fund it with a Lightning transaction if you want, and then send out with a Lightning transaction. Effectively, inside of an eCash mint, you are gaining the privacy of the crowd. Okay, so imagine a group of 1,000 people standing in a room and somebody sends a Lightning transaction in. There's no indication as to which person is actually receiving that transaction. And then anybody can transact within the mint with zero fees instantly with near perfect privacy. And then when you send out of the mint, it's a regular Lightning transaction. And again, you gain the privacy of the group because nobody, there's no indication as to which person sent out of the mint. It's just like, well, I don't know how many people are in that. I have no idea. And which person was it? I also have no idea. So privacy benefits, but trade-offs when it comes to custody. So be cognizant of that. I'll drop that tomorrow. Check it out, play around. Small amounts of sats when you use it, like I demoed with like a couple thousand sats and that's it. So think of it as more experimental and playing around. Don't put meaningful amounts in it yet, but just, you know, it's cool to learn about the tools and be cognizant of how they're working and developing. So be sure to check that out. Anyways, guys, I'm going to round out here. Thank you so much for watching and listening. Oh, actually, you know what? I'm going to say one more thing before I round out here. I posted on Bitcoiner Jobs recently, and so I'm looking for an individual that has some experience helping grow businesses, but also helping grow, you know, social platforms and channels like this. So, you know, I'm a one-man show. I've basically been doing this by myself for 8 years. And I'm kind of at a point where I'm like, holy crap, I'm having trouble keeping up, you know, between my emails and trying to make 3 videos a week and trying to do all the other things and workshops and one-on-ones and all this stuff. So anyways, I put up a post on Bitcoiner Jobs. Last time I checked, I had 30 applicants, which is crazy because it just went up Monday. I'm sorting through them and trying to figure it out, but I am also going to be looking for some other things. Namely, I think it's time that I expand. I see in the chat, just get the wife to do more. Yes, Mrs. Sessions does work hard. She clips up the Friday show and makes those mini clips and posts them, and I think she does a great job. But yeah, I'm going to be expanding a little bit, and what I would like to do is I'd like to actually add another face to the channel. Possibly more than one. And the idea is I find that I'm the person where once somebody gets why Bitcoin, then I'm kind of, you know, I'm one of the people that they might come to next to learn how Bitcoin. And so I'd like to have a bit more of the why on this channel. So if you or somebody that you know is very well spoken, really grasps Bitcoin and its implications on society and like the ins and outs of Bitcoin and how it could impact the world and how it is impacting the world. If that is you or if that's somebody else that you know, let me know either via Twitter or via Noster or shoot me an email, contact@btcsessions.ca, and let me know about people that you think might be cool. I'll probably post on Bitcoiner Jobs about it as well, but I'd like to kind of experiment with a few people that can kind of get on and explain different ways that Bitcoin is impacting people around the world and maybe have human interest stories and maybe just have some general concepts of like, how is this different from the society we've been growing up in and why is it important? Stuff like that. Also, I don't do macro stuff, but I am kind of, I know a lot of people find it very, very interesting. And so if you know somebody in that realm that can better explain the state of the global economy and how Bitcoin plays into that in various instances as things hit the news, then also let me know about those types of people. Again, Twitter, Noster, or contact@btcsessions.ca. Would love to hear from you. And yeah, I'm looking to maybe have like some interns and then turn it into like a paid gig and kind of see how it goes. But I'm just testing the waters right now. So let me know. Anyways, guys, enough of my rambling here. If you can, please do like, subscribe, share. All those things help a ton. Of course, you can hit up the this previously mentioned sponsors, HODL, CoinKite, CDOR, Nunchuck, and Start9. And again, if you're having trouble getting through some of the online tutorials for free and you need some additional handholding, you can reach out to me to book me for one-on-ones. And that is at btcsessions.ca. There's a QR code on the screen right now that you can just simply scan. It'll take you right there for bookings. Otherwise, again, btcsessions.ca should do the trick. Anyways, with that, I am out. Have yourselves a wonderful day or evening, wherever you may be. See you guys next time for your Simply Session.
HODL the Bitcoin.